Julie Peterson cut off an adulterous relationship, but was reluctant to confess to her husband. She finally realized,
Husband and wife are supposed to be one flesh. How can you live in intimacy with a man that doesn't know who you are, that doesn't know what you're struggling with? You've got to tell him this stuff.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Wednesday, November 16th. Today's program may not be appropriate for younger children. We've been talking this week about getting freedom from lust with Dean and Julie Peterson. Here's some of what we've heard so far.
When she started saying that she still loved this other guy and that, I was devastated. But I knew that I had to get my life right with God. That was the most important thing. Her life was, in a lot of ways, secondary. But I had to work on my own relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what I did. That's how I made it for that first year. I got my life right with Christ. And all of a sudden, all those words in the Bible just jumped out at me. They were alive and they were active.
This one day, I was going off to the grocery store, and just out of habit of 17 years, I suppose, I drove off and said, I love you. Bye, I love you. And I just, what did I say? Not meaning it, not feeling it inside, but taking by faith that God is going to make it true. God's going to make it true. This is what He wants. He wants us to be together. He wants us to live for Him, and it looks like this is going to happen now. So, yeah, I love you. It was my prayer all the time, God, make me a good wife. Show me how to be a good wife for Dean, because I didn't love him, and I was praying all those years, God, show me how to love him. Give me the feelings that I am supposed to have for this man. It was about 13 years that we lived together, looking fine. People thought we had a wonderful, happy marriage. He thought we had a wonderful, happy marriage. And it was, except in my head and in my heart, where it was just a lie. I received a hug from a man, 2-second hug, very innocent, but that exploded in me. Just, it was like a dragon leapt out of a box. I thought, this man must know, and I need to apologize to him. And that was a big mistake, because he did not know.
Can you just say that again? Because I know
that was a big mistake,
listening.
Big, huge, to admit to this man that I had had these feelings about him.
Here's Nancy talking with Dean and Julie Peterson, continuing a story of temptation, forgiveness, hope, and healing.
I know the first time I ever got an email from you, which is a little down the road, mm-hmm. It was an email address, as I recall, it was something like Julie XOXO. Yeah. Was that a special email address?
It was. I had set
up
a special
in that relationship
address that at that point to contact this man, because by that point we had become physical in that relationship. But
so the secrecy, the investing in mm-hmm. the relationship, mm-hmm. the opening your heart, mm-hmm. you can look back, I'm sure, and see the whole progression that the woman takes in Proverbs 7 down this road that leads mm-hmm. to destruction.
Mm-hmm. And it was, I think, right after your series on the Proverbs 7 woman that I decided to email you, because I couldn't handle what I was feeling for this man. And I did email your ministry, and I said, would you please pray for me? I am married to a wonderful Christian man who treats me well, and I don't understand the feelings I'm having for this other man. Please pray for me. And I didn't hear anything back. Didn't hear anything from anybody back. I didn't feel like the Lord was answering me at all, that I was just hopeless. My life hadn't changed. I was this adulterous woman deep inside, and I would always be that way. And I pretty much gave up hope.
It was about that time that I had a number of friends who were going through situations relating to marital infidelity. I saw the havoc it was wreaking on marriages and their children, and it was breaking my heart. And that email, which I did see from you, was one more. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you, but mm-hmm. I could just picture. I knew you were in a burning house. Mm-hmm. And I was so brokenhearted over how frequently this was happening. It seemed like an epidemic in so many Christian women. So I took a snippet out of your email, and without a name, of course, or any identifying details, used it with several other illustrations in a letter that we send out to our ministry partners every month. And we have permission to use these emails, and we wouldn't do it in a way that violates the confidence of the person involved. But as I recall, the part out of your email was the first one in that letter.
Very first paragraph.
And never thinking Julie is going to get this letter.
I was at home opening the mail and saw my email on the first paragraph of this ministry letter, and it just like woke me up. It's like, this must be important. Nancy Lee DeMoss has it in the first paragraph of her ministry letter. Julie, look at what you're doing. And God used that to open my eyes. And I was just taken back. And I thought, this has got to stop. And when I went to work the following morning, I got on the email and I wrote to you saying, I am the woman in the first paragraph of that ministry
letter. I have that email
here. Do you?
In fact, I've got a whole string of emails from you, Julie, but let me read a bit of this because it's just so incredible to think where you were on July 8th, 2004 and where God has brought you and Dean today. It's the grace of God is so amazing. You said, well, Nancy, it's me, the author of the first email in this month's letter. Reading it there along with your alarmed response has perhaps awakened me. I feel paralyzed this morning trying to do my job as, and you talked about the position you had in this ministry, and reading this morning's emails from the other man, trying to figure out how to run from this situation, how to get the courage to deal with it. He said, because now, of course, we're in love. You put that in quotes.
Right.
I think you knew it wasn't true love.
Yes.
Though I know I am destroying everything. You said, I feel so hopeless. I want out of this life before it all blows up and others find out who I really am. Because you see, I've had a definite role in Christian work in this community. Many know who I am. I've counseled other women in this situation. I have lost my faith that God will help me. Truly, I don't know what to do. There were some other things you said, but I remember I was sitting in Little Rock in my study where I record, in studying for recordings coming up in Little Rock there on a weekend, as I recall, when I saw that email. It may have taken a day or two to get to me. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was on Wednesday.
By the time I saw it, I was looking for, trying to find your phone number. And I remember it was that I couldn't find it right away because when I first saw it, it was, I think, on a weekend, and thinking, I have got to talk to this woman. This is serious, and was so alarmed myself. And as the Lord would have, and you probably remember the details better than I do, we were able to arrange a phone conversation. And
one of the counselors, I don't know what you would call Sarah in her...
She helps with our correspondence.
Right. She had written right back to me when I sent this last email. And she said that Nancy would like to talk to you if you'd be open to that. And I thought, you're kidding. Nancy Lee DeMoss, famous Nancy Lee DeMoss, wants to take time to talk to me. I could not understand that at all. But you did call me a couple of days later, and you listened to me, although I don't know how you could have understood what I was saying because I was probably weeping
so
hard.
Bawling, sobbing, and it was not easy to understand, although I knew from the email that it was a serious situation. One of the things I remember so clearly is that as you unfolded bits and pieces of your past, how there had been the immorality in years earlier, habitual, repeated immorality, but then those years of faithfulness, and then falling back into this again, I remember you just saying through your sobs, I just don't think I can ever be any different. It was like there was this hopelessness.
Definitely.
Essentially, I'm a sexual addict, and I'm going to be an adulterous woman, not because you were saying you wanted to, but just didn't feel like there was any hope mm-hmm. for you to be any different. Mm-hmm. And that triggered something in my heart, because I know that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And I wanted you out of that affair. I wanted to see your marriage restored. But even deeper than all that, I wanted to see you restored to the grace of God, and to realize that you did not have to spend the rest of your life as this sexually sinful woman. That you could be pure. Amen. You could be restored. And something in me just kind of clicked into high gear and said, woman needs to believe the truth about God's grace. That I knew the enemy was lying to you, and I probably told you were being lied to and deceived.
Yeah. And I thought I was seeing myself realistically for the first time. You know, that's how Satan does deceive a person. You know, I was thinking I was being truthful with myself when he was lying to me about that I would always be that way, and I had no choice.
In the meantime, you'd gone to this other man.
Oh, yeah.
Once you saw that letter.
As soon as I saw that letter, I showed the letter to him, and I says, we are not going to do this anymore. No more.
And, but you still had this record playing inside of you, this tape playing, saying, you are an immoral woman.
Yeah.
You cannot be any different.
And I have tried all these years to love my husband, to be the person I'm supposed to be, and it's not worked. You know, I'm tired of begging God to help me be attractive to him, help me want to be with him sexually. I did not understand why I was crying after we would be together physically, you know, why it's so hard not to think of another person when I'm with Dean.
You just tired of the battle?
I was dead tired of the battle. And I did give up. I thought, it's hopeless, and I will just live like this. God has not changed me. Really forgetting the 13 or 14 years that God had indeed changed me and given me wonderful new desires to live for him. You know, it was just this area that I had not gained victory over yet. I did not know how. And God was showing me finally. He was finally answering my prayer to help me love my husband, but he was sure doing it in a way that I didn't like. And I realized this was what I had given him to work with. This is what I was giving God to work with. And now he was going to use that mess that I had given him to help me fall in love with my husband.
One of the things we talked about on that phone call, I just felt that it was, I think there's so much bondage and secrecy.
Yes.
And I said, you've got to come out with this. Obviously, you've got to be honest with the Lord. And you were being honest with me at that point. But I said, you've got to talk. I don't know if I encourage you to go talk with your pastor.
Yes,
I probably
did.
Mm-hmm. And then I remember saying, you've also got to be honest with Dean.
Yes.
And a wall went up. And you said,
there's no way. There's no way I can tell my husband about this. The marriage would definitely be over then. And it will hurt him tremendously. I never wanted to hurt Dean. I knew he was a good man. And I never wanted him to know how I was really feeling. I was just going to pretend that I wasn't feeling that way. So I did go to my pastor at your encouragement. It took me a few days to realize, okay, this is what I need to do. But I went to him because I thought, now, Pastor, you need to help me get my life back together spiritually. I know I've blown it here for about a year. Well, no, a few months anyway. At that point, I'd really blown it. And help me get this back together spiritually so I can sweep all this under the rug again and, you know, pick myself up by my bootstraps and go on with the Lord. And he said, no, you need to tell your husband. And I was just, everybody's telling me I have to tell Dean this. I did not think that that was necessary, but that was the freeing part.
And let me just back up here, because some are listening and saying, why should she need to tell her husband? As you look back on it, why do you think it was important?
Well, I remember one thing you said on that telephone call was, husband and wife are supposed to be one flesh. How can you live in intimacy with a man that doesn't know who you are? That doesn't know what you're struggling with? You've got to tell him this stuff. And for me to keep anything like that secret makes it so much easier to act on again, mm-hmm. because for one thing, there's not that accountability there.
Mm-hmm. So finally, you did.
Well, he made me
get
yes.
honest with Dean. He knew there was something wrong.
Oh, he could tell by the way I was mm-hmm. acting that something's desperately wrong with my wife. I got to figure out what this is.
And all this time, Dean, you'd not been suspecting this
well,
other
Julie,
relationship.
She was always critical about something, always making critical statements to me about something. And the best thing I can tell you is the verse that I always drew to, and that's in Colossians chapter 3, and that's verses 11 or 12 through 14, where I was told that I needed to clothe myself with that compassion, which I lack compassion. And I needed to have that patience and love, and I needed to have that forgiveness. So I was willing, when she told me about this, I just drew back on that word that God given Paul. And I tell you, anybody that really wants to really get a hold of their life is just look at those words. Chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, where it says, clothe yourselves with compassion. You know, and that patience and understanding and forgive as God forgave us. Because if we call ourselves Christians and we are unwilling to forgive, we have lost it.
And you knew how much God had forgiven you.
I knew how much God had forgiven me. So therefore, when I look back at those verses, those two verses, I realized that I can do this with God's grace. So I didn't hold anything against Julie. I was so hurt when I found out how bad I hurt her.
And I hadn't told him that at that point. It took about a month for me to really come out and say, because of this date rape, because I never got to choose who I wanted to marry, because I felt forced into being your wife, this is the anger and the bitterness, the unforgiveness that I've never been able to get rid of. It's been in here. And this is what I was finally seeing as making or as helping me to make the bad choices that I made, this unforgiveness that was down inside of my heart, that I thought, well, this is in the past. It can't be changed. Dean's a different man now. We don't have to go into that.
But you'd never really dealt with that core bitterness.
Never, never.
And isn't it amazing how often bitterness does mm-hmm. lead to moral
Absolutely.
Impurity?
Oh, man, yes. And
Again, I see that.
It finally makes so much sense.
So you finally were able to express to him, there's been this root of bitterness
yes.
in my heart all these 30-some years.
And when he realized what that early relationship had done to me,
oh,
he was broken.
I
saw him start to cry. He said, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. And
you know, we think different. Men are a different thought process in a lot of ways than a woman. I had no idea that I did that to her, Nancy. No idea. Never thought about it until she mentioned it. And then I realized, I am so sorry that I messed you up. If I would have ever known that's the way you felt, I would have never have done that. I probably would have never have even dated her if I knew that's how she felt, if I knew that.
But here I am, the one that has lived such an immoral lifestyle at that point, and he's apologizing to me. You know, it's amazing what God has put in his heart, mm. in Dean's heart. I've got a wonderful man here. But it took me quite a while yet, after initially talking to him about how I was really feeling and what I had done again, we just decided that we would probably just live together. We knew divorce was not right, and so now he knew exactly how I felt, and we'll just, you know, stay in this home, and, you know, it'll
look... You still didn't really think it could be any different?
Oh, no. No, I was totally hopeless that I would ever love this man. I didn't know that the key... or one of the main keys was to be honest with him about my feelings.
And to deal with the bitterness.
And to deal with it, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Julie and Dean Peterson have been talking with Nancy Lee DeMoss about a dangerous pattern, the sin of unforgiveness leading to the sin of adultery. Many of our listeners are in the same place Julie was. Today's Revive Our Hearts program has brought to mind an area of bitterness in your life. It's deeply affecting you, yet you don't know how to be free. Well, Nancy has outlined some crucial steps to know that you have forgiven and that you can be free. Listen to this description, and then I'll be back to tell you about some resources that will help you learn to fully forgive.
If we need to forgive, how can we choose to forgive? It's important first to identify the people who have wronged us. And then you want to make sure that your conscience is clear toward those people who are on your list. And then take responsibility for your responses. This is a freeing thing to realize that God does not hold you accountable for how others have sinned against you. But God does hold us accountable and responsible for how we have sinned against others. We're so prone to attach percentages to all of this. And so the tendency is to think, and I hear so many wives express something along this line, I was only maybe 5% responsible for the breakup of our marriage. And you should hear what he did. And often I do hear. 95% is his responsibility, is the implication. The problem is if someone were to go and talk to that man, chances are he might be willing to claim 5% responsibility. But he's got his list of ways that his wife sinned against him that he feels provoked him to do whatever it is he did. So he's saying, I'm 5% responsible. She's 95% responsible. She's saying, I've got a little responsibility, but he's mostly responsible. So really, you only have 10% of the responsibility being claimed, her little 5% and his little 5%. Who's responsible for all that 90% in the middle? You see, it's pride that causes us to think, generally speaking, it's the other person who was more wrong. Now, once you've identified these people who've hurt you, you've identified how they've hurt you, and you have done everything that God has put on your heart to do to clear your conscience toward those individuals, then you can take this step of choosing to fully forgive every person who has sinned against you. Purpose in your heart to extend forgiveness to every person on your list. Not because you feel like forgiving, not because they have come and asked you to forgive them, but as an act of your will.
That clip from Nancy Lee DeMoss is from a radio series called Freedom Through Forgiveness. We don't have time to air more than that, but if today's program has brought to light bitterness in your heart, visit reviveourhearts.com and look up the transcripts for this series in the archives. Again, look up Freedom Through Forgiveness at reviveourhearts.com. Nancy also describes this process in detail in her book, Choosing Forgiveness. Don't let bitterness destroy you. This book is a powerful tool that will help you find freedom. You can order it by visiting reviveourhearts.com. Now, maybe after hearing today's program, bitterness isn't the main issue for you, but the issue of sexual temptation is a big struggle. Would you follow up on today's program and put some safeguards in place? We'd like to send you Nancy's pamphlet, Personal Hedges, and a book and study guide by Judy Starr called Enticement of the Forbidden. Both of these will help you set up hedges, protect your heart, and protect your marriage from the destruction of sexual sin. We'll send both when you make a donation of any size to Revive Our Hearts. We do have a limited amount of Judy Starr's books, so don't delay. Ask for them when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, after hearing about the struggles, bitterness, and infidelity in the Petersons' marriage, do you think intimacy and feelings of love could ever be restored? We'll find out tomorrow when they wrap up this series. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.